This is episode 281 of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. I'm your host, Josh Wiener, along with Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey. And on this episode, we will be previewing and making our predictions for WrestleMania 38, WrestleMania Sunday. Hey, OJ Will, get us started.
What up? This is Josiah Williams, and you're listening to the Wrestling Brethren podcast, where wrestling and pop culture collide. Yeah.
Now we're going to talk about WrestleMania Sunday. In a singles match that makes absolutely zero sense, almost takes on the almighty Bobby Lashley.
I think this will probably be a contender for worst match of the show. Because I don't think we've really seen Omos do much other than just kind of stand there and throw very slow kicks and be just impressively big. So I don't know how they're going to do it. But I can't help but think that Omos will win because Vince likes his really, really big guys. And they may put him on a fast track to going after a title, whether it's Roman or Brock or whomever. But I think Omos is winning. Probably a bathroom break match for me, but we'll see.
The fact that you would speak of Omos going against Roman Reigns should get you fired immediately from this show. That is horse crap. I don't want him anywhere near. I don't even want him anywhere near the WWE title, whatever happens to that after the merger. But yeah, that's oof. God awful. That'd be like putting Great Khali in a title.
Nice, Josh. Nice. Yeah. I don't know who to pick. This is a very low interest match. Could be my second, grab a sandwich match of the weekend. I'll go with Omos.
Here's my prevailing problem with this match, other than it had zero build. They kept pimping that Omos has never been knocked off his feet. So why wouldn't you save that for WrestleMania and have Lashley knock him off his feet at Mania? Nope, they gave it away free on Raw. So then why do I care about this match? He already knocked him off his feet. Who cares? Because of my giant disdain for Omos, I'm going with Bobby Lashley. In an anything goes match, which is very vague, Sami Zayn takes on Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, this is another celebrity match. I don't know how entertaining this will be. I mean, I'm a big fan, Sami Zayn fan. I've never been much of a Jackass fan, so I don't know. Johnny Knoxville seems like a nice guy. I think the story here, this is my own analogy, is that Sami Zayn's setting up to be the Wile E. Coyote to Johnny Knoxville's Roadrunner. I think that's how the match is going to figuratively be laid out. So I think Johnny Knoxville's winning. Since this anything goes and all sorts of gadgets can be used, I think that would be the defense for Zayn. But I think Sami Zayn's doing this because it gets his name out there. You know, this is the type of thing that gets your name out on TMZ or whatever news headlines. So I wouldn't feel too bad for Sami. He winds up losing this. It's one of those things. If he loses, okay, he lost to the Jackass guy. But if he wins, okay, he beat the Jackass guy. So it's like, I don't think there's any outcome to this that's better than the other as far as his profile. So I'm thinking he might as well lose. Like I said, it'll probably be a lot of comedy, a lot of goofball stuff that'll probably make Vince laugh. But I think Johnny Knoxville's winning.
Yeah, this is the bring a babyface celebrity in portion of WrestleMania where I think the babyface has to win. So given that this is a an anything goes, falls in whatever you want to call it, hardcore, you know, street fight, however you want to bill it, that's the opportunity for Knoxville to do something insane and win the match. So I'm going to go with Knoxville.
Yeah. And his Jackass crew is going to be accompanying him. So God only knows what they're going to bring down ringside. So yeah, this is the celebrity I'm picking to win, by the way, and it's the only one. But yeah, Johnny Knoxville to win. I will have probably zero interest in this match. I might do something else. Take the dog outside, go get a snack, something. I've never thought any of the Jackass stuff was funny. The funniest Johnny Knoxville has ever been was in the movie The Ringer, which had nothing to do with Jackass. And the funniest line in there obviously was written by a writer, probably not him. I don't know if you guys have seen The Ringer. It's an older movie. But he just has a good line in there, and even on a standalone line, it's funny, but funnier with context, obviously. But the line is, when the fuck did we get ice cream? So that's the funniest thing he's ever done, in my opinion. But anyway, Knoxville to win. That's the one celebrity I'm picking.
I think the best thing I saw Johnny Knoxville do was he was in a music video for, I think he directed it as well. But it was a country music song called Hollywood Hillbilly, and he's playing the Hollywood Hillbilly, you might say, just driving around in his car, and he's like cussing and putting dollars in a tip jar because his kids keep telling him to not swear. It's that type of humor.
In the third celebrity match, and this one could be titled celebrity loosely because it's involving an actual WWE employee, but Austin Theory takes on Pat McAfee.
This one actually could be a bit of a sleeper. It could be a surprisingly good match. I mean, Pat McAfee is just an amazing athlete. I mean, he's one of the few guys I pay no attention to football. So outside of the 85 Bears, I really can't name too many football players outside of the, you know, the superstars that you see doing commercials and such. So, but I remember that match he had with Adam Cole where it's like he just jumped from the mat just all the way up to the top rope. And just that alone is pretty amazing. So I think he'll win. Austin Theory, I mean, he's so new to the scene that he can lose a whole bunch of matches and be repaired later because everybody knows he's new. So I'm thinking Pat McAfee wins. And I don't know what'll happen next after that. There's obviously an ongoing story with Austin Theory and Vince McMahon. So we'll see where that goes, but I'm thinking Pat McAfee wins.
I was having trouble with this one. I know Theory is Vince's project, so that might suggest, you know, he's due for the push. And what better way to, you know, he can embarrass McAfee on the way to doing good things. But I think there's one of those other, you know, kind of a feel good things. I think Pat McAfee is going to win this one just to show off. The dude's got like natural kind of, he just does stuff, which is great. Like he's not a continuously trained person. He just goes out and does stuff, which is fantastic. I would like to see him win this one.
I think that Vince will be involved somehow. I know Austin Theory is the heel and Pat's supposed to be the face here. And while I agree the feel good would be Pat, and he has way more charisma, natural charisma anyway, I just don't see him winning here. I think he lives his dream of getting his WrestleMania match, and I think he just gets screwed by Vince. Not sure on the reasoning, but I'm going with Austin Theory here. In a match that makes my blood boil, the women's tag team fatal four-way match. The champions Carmella and Queen Zelina versus Sasha Banks and Naomi versus Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan versus Natalia and Shayna Baszler.
I think it's pretty hilarious that Natalia and Shayna got into this match because they interfered in a women's tag title match a couple weeks ago. And literally like the following Raw, they had Adam Pearce try to explain that you don't just get a match at Mania by interfering in a match, even though that's literally what Natalya and Shayna did. And he's also an authority figure on SmackDown too. So it happened on his other show, but alas, I would like nothing better than for Natalya and Shayna to win, even though I know they're the heels, but I think if they are going to, switch the titles, I think the best thing to do would be to have Ripley and Morgan win, because they kind of have the bigger story behind them. So I'm thinking actually Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan will win. I know I'm picking a lot of title changes here, but I think these are just the ones that seem to work with the direction they're going. I know WWE isn't always the best when it comes to common sense, but we'll see.
I'd like to know what makes Josh's blood boil about this match.
Do you want to know before you make your pick?
Sure.
Okay. So, where do I start? This is involving four teams where there's almost zero story or build behind any of them. The champions are a makeshift team. All of these teams are makeshift teams. And the champion's current storyline is they can't get along because Carmella's distracted because she wants to bang Corey Graves. Sasha Banks and Naomi were put together because I don't know why they were put together. They haven't given us a reason. Naomi basically just announced that she and Sasha were going for the titles. And Sasha was surprised, and then she was like, okay, cool. So there's really no point. Rhea Ripley was stuck in a tag team with Nikki A.S.H. for God knows how long. They were champs, and then they continued, and then they were still a team, and then they had probably one of the worst feuds after a tag team split I've ever seen, and they finally freed Rhea from a tag team to immediately thrust her into another tag team with no build, no story. The only build that they have is that their team name is called Living Nightmare. And apparently they're getting people all riled up on the internet because they're having, how can I delicately put this? They're having sexy fun time on the internet, on the IG, so to speak, as clean as they possibly can. And that's riling up a whole bunch of people. Not enough for a wrestling storyline. And Natalya and Shayna Baszler just came along based on what Seth said. Obviously, it was covered. But in real life, they've trained together. Not that they ever would tell you that on TV. But they seem to be just thrust together. So this is four teams that don't have any story, any build. On a normal pay-per-view, I would pick the champs to retain. But it just, when this was one-on-one, I thought we were going to have new champs. Then it became a triple threat, and I was like, well, okay, now we're going to get new champs, but I don't know who to pick. And then they added a third team, made it a fatal four-way, and I'm like, well, now I really don't know who to pick. And I've had my predictions in here in this document for a long time, and up until probably yesterday, I had this listed as question mark, question mark, question mark, wins the titles. I couldn't decide. I have no vested interest in any of these teams as teams. The feud for the singles should be what we got a sneak peek of on last week's SmackDown. It should be Rhea and Sasha. That's a match I want to see. They even have history in the build to the 2019 Survivor Series. But God help us if they're ever going to touch on that or even tell you that, because that would involve talking about Black and Gold NXT. Can't have that. So I had to pick and narrow down who was going to win the titles, because somebody is going to win the titles. I don't see Carmella and Zelina retaining. And Sasha's already been tag team champion. She's been world champion. Naomi's been SmackDown Women's Champion. Rhea's been Raw Women's Champion. Natalya's been a SmackDown champion and a tag champion. Shayna's been a tag champion. The only person who hasn't held the title is Liv Morgan. So for that reason, and that reason alone, I'm going with Living Nightmare to win the titles. And even though that means we're going to get Rhea Ripley stuck in a tag team program for several more months, and who knows when we will ever see her in a meaningful singles feud again.
Wow, Josh, tell us how you really feel.
I can't, because I would have to have my own, segment. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I agree with a lot of it. I'm going to go a little bit, well, kind of on the same lines, but for different reasons. And there were very selfish and personal reasons, is that I don't want Naomi anywhere near a championship belt. I am so sick of Carmella and Zelina and Baszler and Natalya together. The team just seems really weird. Of the eight people in this match, I actually like Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, so therefore they are getting my heart pick and not my brain pick. So yes, I'm going with Rhea and Liv Morgan.
And your heart pick might actually just do you justice. Okay, in a singles match that started way different than it ended in terms of the build, Edge versus AJ Styles.
This is one of those where the obvious joke is who wins, the fans. Both these guys are great, been big fans of these guys for years. AJ's probably my favorite wrestler right now. So I'm sure they'll put out all the stops or as many stops as they can. But I think in the end, AJ is going to win. I don't know what he'll do after this, but I mean, I think since Edge is probably in the twilight of his career, my hunch is that he's kind of in star making mode trying to get guys to whatever level. And yes, I know AJ's been WWE champion for like a year before, but I think he's in that role of just trying to make other guys look as best he can. Just my hunch. I don't know for sure, obviously, but I think AJ is going to win, but I also think it might arguably be the, at least as far as a technical aspect, the best match of the show.
And this is no doubt going to be an excellent match. That's a tough one. I think maybe just kind of, quote unquote, bringing back AJ into the limelight, I think means that they're going to give him the win in this one. And I know they have plans for him, so I think this is going to be the start of it. So I'm going to pick AJ.
Surprisingly, I do not like the new character that Edge has. It does nothing for me. I fast forward through him all the time. They say he got new entrance music. I couldn't even tell you what it is or what it sounds like because I fast forward through it every time. When this was rumored months ago, I was very into this. Now, like we've said, the match will be great, but I have zero interest in this Edge character as it currently exists. I originally picked AJ Styles when it was regular Edge versus AJ Styles, but I have a feeling this is going to be one of the rematches at WrestleMania Backlash, and to warrant a rematch, the heel has to win. So I am picking Emo Edge.
That just sounds so wrong, Emo Edge.
And it's not even accurate. It's just what I came up with off the top of my head. He's pretentious. He's a pretentious prick sitting up on his mountaintop of omnipotence or whatever the hell he says.
Is he ripping off our tribal chief in the island of relevancy? Like, come on, man.
Exactly. For the Raw tag team titles in a triple threat match, RK-Bro defend against the Street Profits and Alpha Academy. Shoosh!
This is a tough pick, I think, because, again, I like all the guys. I have been pleasantly surprised with how long RK-Bro has stayed together, because I think we were all waiting for Randy Orton to give Matt Riddle like the mother of all RKOs. But maybe they just realized how entertaining the duo were and decided not to break them up. So I'm actually hoping that RK-Bro retains here. Maybe they'll lose it at the Backlash show. I don't know. But yeah, I'm actually picking champions to retain for this one.
I think there are still legs here for RK-Bro, and I'm not really into either of the other two teams. I'm really not into Alpha Academy as they are now. That whole shush thing just bothers me. So I'm going to go with the champs to retain the belts.
I'm just really glad they're giving Chad Gable something to do. And he's got two catchphrases that are over, and one of them became a t-shirt, so props to him. I really thought this was going to be Randy versus Riddle, and we never got it. If that should happen at some point, as we've said in the past, or at least I've said in the past, and I think, Jarrett, you concurred, the neater story, the more unique story would be for Riddle to snap and turn heel, especially since Randy's come out and professed his only friend is Riddle. But apparently that's not going to happen here. So they've, I don't know, I don't want to say 100% that they've turned the Street Profits heel, but they've given them a harder edge, that's for sure. And I don't think you do that without purpose. So I'm picking the Street Profits to win the tag team titles. Thank you. And of course, that would have gone over better had I picked Alpha Academy, but it is what it is.
Solo cups everywhere.
Right. And in what is undoubtedly the main event of the entire weekend, in a champion versus champion match, winner takes all title unification bout. The tribal chief, the head of the table, the needle mover, the guy who is in God mode, Roman Reigns, the universal champion, takes on Canadian's own, Minnesota's own, Farmer Brock, Cowboy Brock Lesnar, the WWE champion.
I've been mulling over this one for a while. This one really could logically go either way. I know that they've really been pushing the length of Roman's reign, no pun intended, but that usually when they start bringing that up, it could be a sign that they're signaling for the end. Now, I think we all have heard the rumors that the big match, so to speak, the big confrontation, or the you might say the God for the God mode to face or whatever, the final boss is The Rock at next year's Mania. You know, supposedly Rock wants to do it. WWE wants to do it. It'd be fitting to do it in California with The Rock being one of the top movie stars. But how do you get there? And I know people have noticed that Rock's been doing a ton of training in Hawaii. That could just be coincidence because, I mean, if you know his family, the Hawaii family has a lot of history in Hawaii. So I don't think him spending a lot of time there is really that unusual. But if they are going to lead to Roman versus Rock next year, you don't do the split here, meaning this weekend. You would have that go down the road. So I'm actually thinking The Rock does show up, and he's the one who actually helps Roman win. Well, he thwarts whatever plan Brock might have had. Or maybe Heyman tries to double swerve Roman and Brock helps that. But that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Roman's retaining. Whether or not Rock gets involved, I don't know if that would be part of my prediction, but if it has to be, it will be. I think The Rock will interfere. But yeah, when it comes down to it, I think Roman's retaining.
Yeah, I think if The Rock is the final boss, this is the boss's right-hand man, right? This is a huge, huge match. I can't think of any reason that they're going to have Roman lose here, especially if the end goal is the big match next year at WrestleMania. There's no sign of Roman slowing down. He is the brand ambassador. He is everything that to the company right now that John Cena used to be in the face of dealing with the media and the public. And he is in God mode, right? He's at the top of his game right now. He wins here. There's no doubt. There's no signs of any chinks in the armor of the family of the bloodline. And I think they're gonna tell that story first before they take Roman down, which they haven't been doing. This is a Roman win, and do we call him Two Belt Joe? I don't know, or Joe Two Belts, but we're gonna have our tribal chief shall be acknowledged at WrestleMania.
Now, to clarify, you're both saying that Roman wins, and Seth, you specifically said Roman retains, but you're also picking that he wins the WWE title, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Well, okay. By retaining, I mean, he wins. He wins by pinfall the whole nine yards.
Okay. So I'm going to complete the trifecta, and I'm going to say Roman wins the WWE title. I don't know what their plans going forward are, other than reports have all stated that this is only going to be temporary, the unified title. Whether we get new title designs or not, that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. But here's how I think Mania should end. There's only one way that you can make people forget about Stone Cold the previous night. And something similar happened at the end of Money in the Bank when Roman won. I think it was Edge he defeated that night. And he wanted the crowd to acknowledge him. And we got John Cena's music. And John Cena came out and we had that moment. And that led to SummerSlam, where Roman Reigns defeated John Cena and wanted to be acknowledged. And he was interrupted by the returning Brock Lesnar. So how Mania has to end, in my opinion, is Roman wins the WWE title. He's celebrating. He gets the mic passed to him by the wise man. He says, "Dallas, WWE Universe, the world, acknowledge me." And then either there's going to be a whole bunch of pop or booing or maybe a mixture of both. And he's like, "I've smashed everybody. I told you I would smash him, and I'd smashed him. And there's nobody left. I have all the titles. There's nobody left for me to face. If you smell what the Rock is cooking." Boom. Place goes apoplectic. And that's your year out build starting on WrestleMania Sunday. And that will make everybody forget Steve Austin was even a thing.
I love it. I hope we get it. I've been looking for any sign that Dwayne Johnson is in Texas. He's been in Hawaii and Mexico all week. Mexico pimping his tequila. Mexico is pretty, well, where he is in Mexico is pretty close to Texas. It's certainly not out of the realm of possibility.
Everywhere is pretty close when you have a private jet.
Well, this is true.
Additionally, there's a precedent for it when Ronda Rousey was trying to tell people she was in Mexico filming a movie, and then she showed up at the Rumble. So, and that was the first Rumble she was in, not this year's. But anyway, people try to do the fake outs all the time. It'll be interesting to see. But the only other prediction I have for that main event is that there's going to be blood, because Brock said he's out for blood. And if you don't have blood after making a comment like that, it'll be pretty disappointing. But it doesn't need to be a bloodbath. I think just a little bit of color will add to the drama. I think it'll be a knockdown drag out, but yeah, I think obviously Roman wins.
I still say all these years later, it's probably what, 3 or 4 years now, whenever the last Roman Brock Lesnar Mania match was, where Roman got so blood soaked, he speared Brock and you literally saw a blood splatter like something out of a horror movie. There was so much blood on Roman that it just splashed down onto the mat. I mean, that was an amazing visual. I'm assuming that was the same night that Roman was making reference to when he talked about he bled so bad his kids couldn't recognize him or something like that.
Yeah, sorry, John. Like, how cool is Farmer Viking Cowboy Brock, though? I like that he's showing some personality finally.
Yeah, this is probably the best version of him, and he's doing his own promos now. And his promo on Raw, I don't know if you saw it, Jared, because I know you don't watch Raw, but he was doing a whole promo. The crowd was whatting him. And he diffused it by saying, "Oh yeah, go ahead, have your fun. Steve will be there this weekend, and you know, he's the, you know, he's beaten everybody, but he hasn't whooped my ass. And they were continuing to what him. And he said, yep, go ahead, have your fun. And then after a certain point, he goes, all right, that's enough. And they all stopped. Like, he said, that's enough. And that was it.
I know this wouldn't be for everybody. This would just be entertaining to me. So I can understand why they might not do it. But good gravy, if they were to ever change Brock Lesnar's music with the look he has now, he could come out to that William Regal Real Man's Man music. I don't think anybody would complain. Now, of course, you'd have to show, you'd have to change the footage of Brock doing all the bricklaying instead of Steve Regal, but I'm sure he could probably put, I'm sure he could probably film a good bricklaying music video.
But would he do it perfectly?
Mm-hmm. All right. So on the whole, I would say WrestleMania is a mixed bag, if you will. There are certain matches that have long-standing and very detailed build, and then matches, as we have discussed, that have zero to little to no build. So we'll have to see if the wrestling outdoes the lack of build, and if it's more entertaining on the whole than it's currently laid out as such. Nope, there's no United States title defense. We thought we were getting Finn Balor versus Damian Priest. Nope, they're in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on WrestleMania SmackDown. No, there's no Intercontinental title match. We got a triple threat on WrestleMania SmackDown. And we haven't even touched on how they're killing Ricochet.
Oh, yeah.
But we could have mentioned it in the Austin Theory match, because if you want to know what they think of Austin Theory, they had him go over Ricochet in less than 3 minutes with a pinfall.
Are you trying to make my blood boil right now, Josh?
Well, it's only fair. Mine did, so somebody else's should.
Yeah. Oh, it gets better, because last week on SmackDown, he faced both... who was it? It was...
Los Lotharios.
And lost to both of them. Each match was he wrestled them each and lost both to both of them. And then he turns around, gets angry, and challenges them to a three-way title match, not at WrestleMania, but on SmackDown.
Oh, it's WrestleMania SmackDown.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, I mean, I will go back to what I said before, that this is going to be a spectacle. It's going to look great. Now, I will try to keep track of the match times, because like you're talking about, they pushed the Battle Royal off of Mania. They're not going to have any of the secondary titles defended, even though if you're theoretically going to have only one world champion, that would be all the better reason to put your secondary titles on the big show, since they're going to be raised in prestige, so to speak, until they change their mind in a month or two and have another world champion. But I'm definitely looking forward to Mania. Not only is Mania usually good, but this will be the most pumped I've been for Mania since, you know, before the pandemic era. So what would have been 2019, before they had a capacity crowd WrestleMania. So that alone is going to make it great. I'm probably not going to be able to watch it live due to real life commitments, but I'm sure I will enjoy it. And like I said, I'll keep track of the match times, because out of a 2-day show, it'll be interesting to see how much of it is actually matches and introductions, and how much of it is just video packages and skits and commercials and product placement and all that stuff. Because I think recently on a like 3.5 or 4 hour PLE, I guess we're going to call them that now, they had about an hour of wrestling in a 3.5 hour show that didn't have any actual commercial breaks in it. So maybe that's just, we're now in the era of non-pay-per-view where everything's just streaming. But boy, that seems like a waste of time to have an hour of wrestling in a 3.5 hour wrestling show.
Well, I mean, vignettes and segments and stuff are cool, but when the ratio is way off like that, I mean, there's got to be some balance, right? And that's kind of ridiculous.
And to be fair, if it was 90% matches and intros and stuff like that, that's probably going too far the other way. I mean, there's some New Japan shows that are like that, where it's literally just match, 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 match. with little time to breathe except for an intermission. But that's also a different promotion, different country, different audience and such.
Well, it is all going down this weekend. We will have to see how it shakes out and how the fallout from WrestleMania, or I'm sorry, Raw after WrestleMania and SmackDown after WrestleMania. And if you're really stuck for something to do Saturday morning as lunchtime rolls around, you can watch NXT Stand and Deliver premium live event on Peacock or the WWE Network.
Stand and Deliver, or the devil he may take you.
Something like that. They are in Texas, after all. All right, well, we will touch on all the fallout next week. But until then, thank you once again for downloading, listening, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. You can visit us at twbpodcast.com for posts and episodes. Visit the mothership, if you will, at behindthesquaredcircle.com, home of the Behind the Squared Circle podcast network. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments at Twitter at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter at TheBaconRev, and you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you again soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.